What does it mean to be a Christian? I think what I'd say today is something like being a Christian means living in relationship with God. Being a Christian is all about living in relationship with God, a relationship that's made possible through Jesus. And the Bible describes that relationship that we have with God in a number of different ways. In Psalm 23, it's described like this: "The Lord is my shepherd." That image of God as a shepherd is used a number of times through the Bible. Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd. And this image of God as shepherd means that he's the one who takes care of us. God is the one who takes care of us. Psalm 23 describes the life of the person who knows that the Lord God is looking out for them, meeting their needs, and keeping them safe. And so this little series of three talks that we've had, we're thinking about anxiety and struggle in life. And this Psalm 23 speaks powerfully into that. Life is full of challenges and pressures and worries. You know, Australians love to say, "No worries." But the truth is, there are lots of worries in life. So how can we go through life and face all the challenges that it throws at us and not be overcome with anxiety? The answer Psalm 23 gives is by knowing that I have a shepherd who knows me and loves me, and come what may, will keep me safe. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll get into the psalm. Father, we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us in the Bible. We thank you for this image of you as our shepherd. And we pray that you'd open our minds and hearts to understand that and to experience, to know that to be true in our lived experience, and to know the security that that brings. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to explore the psalm under three headings that are in your service sheets. Firstly, the need for a shepherd. Secondly, the experience of knowing God's shepherding care. And thirdly, the proof of God's care for us. So firstly, the need for a shepherd. Psalm 23, if you like, asks a question of us. It asks, who is your shepherd? Who is your shepherd? Who is it that you're looking to take care of you? Who are you trusting in to keep you safe? Maybe have a think for a moment. It might be another person, a spouse, a parent, a friend. It might be a thing like money. It might be you're looking to money for security in life. It might be that you say, you know, actually, I don't need anyone else to take care of me. I can take care of myself. Psalm 23 was written by King David, the greatest king in Israel's history. This is the David who fought and defeated Goliath, the giant. And after that, he became a great military leader. And so if anyone could claim to be able to take care of themselves, it would have been David. And yet he says, the Lord is my shepherd. He's the one who takes care of me. I'm not trusting in myself. I'm trusting in him. David knew about shepherding. Before he became a king, he had been a shepherd. And even as a king, really his job was to be shepherd to the people of Israel, to rule over them, to take care of the people in his kingdom. And yet David is saying in Psalm 23, I may shepherd the sheep, I may shepherd other people, but it's the Lord who shepherds me. Before I'm a shepherd to others, I'm a sheep. I need someone to take care of me. I was thinking as Hayley spoke, you know, she, in a sense, is a shepherd to the students and the staff in that Kilkenny community. And yet, I know Hayley knows before she can be a shepherd to others. And in order to be a shepherd to them, she needs to know the Lord's shepherding care. We all need someone to take care of us. We all need a shepherd. And the question is, Who's up to the task? Who can we really trust to take care of us, to meet our needs fully, to keep us safe through all life's dangers? We're going to watch a short clip from one of the Alpha Course videos. If I click this, it may work. Or I'll let you take over, James. This is a clip.
I think for so many years, you know, I always just strive to be stronger myself. And it was as if that all I needed was me and my buddies, and, you know, it would be like invincible. But the truth is, none of us are. And I don't want to do this thing called life. I don't want to do it on my own. And it kind of feels like my longing for this light inside is now stronger than my fear of what others might think. And people often ask, well, doesn't that make faith like a crutch? And, you know, well, maybe, but, you know, what does a crutch do? A crutch helps you stand, and it makes you stronger. And in that case, you know, sure, I need a bit of that. But especially when it's so much more than that, when this faith inside is also like a backbone, helping me stand tall, and helping me be strong when I'm really up against it, facing those odds, whether it's on a mountain or stuck in some jungle, or just dealing with the storms, you know, the storms of life. Sure, I need that, you know, I need that.
I love that. Bear Grylls, you know, I guess if we could think of anyone today who could look after themselves, survive in the wild, Bear Grylls, and yet he says, nah, he doesn't want to do life like that. And the claim of the Bible is that we're all made to know and experience and enjoy God's shepherd and care. We're not meant to do life on our own. True life is found in a dependent relationship, a relationship of trust. Which leads us to our second point, the experience of knowing God as your shepherds. Psalm 23 describes the life of a person who's trusting the Lord to take care of them. And so what does that life look like? We're not going to pick up everything in the psalm. Let me give you three words. They're in your sheets. Contentment, calmness, confidence. Contentment. In verse 1, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." An amazing claim. David's saying, when the Lord is taking care of me, I have everything I need. I can rest in his care and provision. I don't have to worry about my needs. I can experience true contentment. The Lord, he knows me. He knows what I need. I can trust him to provide physically, spiritually. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. It's a beautiful image, isn't it? See, when you enter into a relationship with God as your shepherd, he promises he'll provide everything you need. Not everything you want, not even everything you think you need, but everything you truly need. As your shepherd, you can trust him to provide. You can experience real contentment. Secondly, calmness. David says in verse 4, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and staff, they comfort me." David's talking here about the shepherd's rod and staff with which he would ward off predators and protect the sheep. And David's saying, when the Lord is your shepherd, you don't need to be afraid. Whatever threats and dangers you may face in life, you can do so with an inner peace and calmness because your God has promised to be with you and to keep you safe. He hasn't promised to remove all trouble from our life, but he has promised to be with you in the trouble and to keep you safe. Let me read a few lines from a poem called Safe. "I am safe, not because I have no trouble or because I never experience danger. I am safe, not because of money or power or who I know or where I live. I am safe because you have given me the one thing that is the only thing that will ever keep me safe. You've given me you. So I will wake up tomorrow and face the anxiety of not knowing, the fear of my own weakness, and the reality of the fall. I'll live with faith, courage, and hope. And when danger comes, and it will, I will whisper to my weakening heart, Emmanuel is your shepherd. You are safe. Contentment, calmness, thirdly, confidence. At the end of the psalm, David says, surely. That's a word of confidence, isn't it? It's the Hebrew word, ach. Great. Ach, surely. Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. At Bible College, I studied Hebrew for 3 years. That's the language the Old Testament was written in. I don't remember much at all, sadly, but I remember this verse, this final verse in Psalm 23. It says, Ach, tov v'chesed yedafuni kol yamei hayai. I taught that verse to Moya when she was 3, and she loved to recite it. It was very sweet, particularly that word, Yedafuni. She loved saying that, and that's the word for will follow me. And literally, it's will pursue me. See, as David thinks about his life and as he looks to the future, he has this rock-solid confidence that every day, whatever he's facing, God's goodness and faithful love will be pursuing him. He's not worried about enemies chasing him down. No, he has this confidence that he cannot escape the goodness of God, that nothing he faces can separate him from God's love, not even death. He will live in God's presence forever. See, as we journey through life, we know that one day will be our last day. In some of the earlier Bible translations where it says, I walk through the darkest valley, they translate it, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And it's in the face of death that all the other shepherds that we're tempted to trust in come up short. Only Jesus, the good shepherd, can carry us safely through death. He can do it because he has tasted death himself on our behalf. And he has drawn death's sting. And in his resurrection, he's blazed a trail through death to glory, and he's promised that we will follow. This is the confidence that you can have when you make the Lord your shepherd. Because you know that he is committed to your goods, that he has promised, and he's a God who cannot break his promises. He's promised that in everything you face, he'll be with you, providing for your needs and working for your good. He's promised he'll carry you safely through death to glory. I want to say to anyone here who you don't yet believe in God, you don't yet know and experience this relationship with the Lord, you might not think this is true. You might think this is all kind of make-believe spiritual nonsense. What I want to say is, though you don't yet believe it, don't you want it to be true? Don't you like the idea of there being a God who knows you and cares for you intimately, who's able to look after you and with you through whatever you face? I was talking to my brother-in-law a couple of weeks ago. Not a Christian, but he's more open to Christianity than ever. He's reading through Luke's gospel with us. It's very exciting. But he said this idea of God knowing us, having this relationship with God in which he knows us intimately, he cares for us, is deeply comforting. He doesn't think it's true, but he can see it's something really attractive. And I want to say, don't you like the thought of being able to live your life with real contentment and calmness and this rock-solid confidence? Because that's the life that's offered. That's the experience of having God as your shepherd. Now, of course, wanting something to be true doesn't make it true, but it might at least make you more willing to investigate, to find out if it is true, if this could be your experience. And so I want to encourage you, if that's where you're at, to come along to this Taste and See course that we're doing and take that time to hear more of what it means to enter into the Christian life and have this relationship with God. Okay, we've thought about the need for a shepherd and the experience of knowing God as your shepherd. Finally, the proof of God's shepherding care. Because, you know, if you're going to trust your life to someone, you need to know that they're trustworthy. And so what is the proof of God's shepherding care? How do we know that Psalm 23 isn't just a nice-sounding poem? How do we know it's real? I mean, how do we know that God's even there? And how do we know that he really cares? We know because of Jesus. You see, Christianity isn't primarily about rules or rituals. It's not just a set of spiritual teachings that have been delivered to us. Christianity at its heart is about a person. Christianity is based on historical events of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. In Jesus, the Creator God has stepped onto the stage of human history so that we would know that he's there, so that we would know that he cares. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." He said, "I've come that you may have life, life in all its fullness." This life is what he's talking about, the life we've seen described in Psalm 23, this life of enjoying his shepherding care. And then Jesus says this, and this is the proof. He says, "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Just think about that. I've never met a shepherd. I don't know much about shepherding. But I can't imagine there are too many shepherds out there who are willing to actually give their lives in order to care for their sheep. But Jesus is. Jesus is a shepherd so committed to our good, a shepherd who cares for us so much that he laid down his life for our welfare. If we want proof of his care, we need to look to his death. There's another passage in the Old Testament that talks about sheep and talks about Jesus' death. In Isaiah 53, it says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us, we've turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Iniquity is another word for sin. And that verse is saying, you know, we've all turned away from God. We've gone our own way. We've rejected him and his way. We're guilty. And there's a punishment to be paid. And the unbelievable love of God is seen in this, that the Lord has laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all, our sin, our guilt. And so when Jesus died on the cross, he takes our sin and he bears our guilt. And on the cross, he pays the punishment in our place. See, we're sheep who don't just need a shepherd to care for us. We need a shepherd to rescue us. And Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life to do just that. He dies the death that we deserve so we can be forgiven, so we can know this life of contentment, calmness, confidence. He's met our greatest need, and he's met it at the greatest cost. Jesus is a shepherd with scars. Scars that speak of his sacrifice. Scars that speak of his love. And it's because of that, because of his scars, that whatever you're facing in life, whatever you're dealing with, you can know you're not alone. You can know you have a shepherd who cares for you. You can know that because he's laid down his life for you. Jesus is saying to you and me this morning, let me be your shepherd. Let me be your shepherd. Stop trying to do life on your own. Stop looking to other things to take care of you. We're being invited to come home to the true shepherd of our souls, to find rest in his faithful, loving care. And so I want to invite you, will you do that this morning? Do you recognize the need that you have for a shepherd? Are you at a point where you don't want to do this thing called life on your own? You want to know for yourself and experience and enjoy this faithful shepherding care of God's. And maybe you've known it, but you need to come back and receive Jesus afresh this morning. It may be for the first time in your life you want to say yes to Jesus. Say, I want you to be my shepherd. I want to know your care in my life. If that's the case, you can pray this prayer along with me. Just echo it in your heart. Let's all bow our heads and we'll pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the good shepherd. Thank you that you know us and you love us. And Lord, we know we've turned from you. We've turned from your way. We thank you that you laid down your life for us. And we ask this morning, Lord Jesus, that you would be our shepherd. You would take charge of our life. Please forgive us. Help us to follow you. Please free us from anxiety and enable us to experience your loving care. We pray in your name. Amen.